Amen. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 this morning. We're going to return to the model church at Thessalonica, this church that was less than 1 year old in the Lord, but man, it was turning all of Greece upside down. The timing of God, the timing of the Holy Spirit this morning, as our study, as we've moved into 1 and 2 Thessalonians, man, it's a divine thing, loved one. And as we study this out in the time that we're living in, I mean, can you imagine a church that Paul only taught 3 Sabbaths, yet he covered the major doctrines of the faith? They don't even have a Bible, and they imitate Paul, they imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, and they go out and they turn Macedonia and Achaia, which is northern and southern Greece in that time period, they turn it upside down. They are literally on fire. How in the world did they do that? Before we get into this scripture, verse 13, let me say something to you. The way that they did it was the truth of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? But there's something today that is so needed in the church. We need to be just like the Thessalonians, and that is this. We need to walk in truth. You remember what John the Apostle said? He was aged and he's old when he wrote the 3 little epistles at the end of the Bible. He says, I have no greater joy than this, than to see and to know that my children walk in truth. We need to be walking in truth. We need to know the truth. Amen? Amen. John writes also in 2 John, he says this. He's talking to the elder lady, her children, and so forth, whom I love. He says, in truth. Matter of fact, let's just say that one word, truth. That is very important this morning, is because we're going to learn what the model church believed, okay? So he says, I have no greater love than that children walk in truth, know the truth, but also all those who have known the truth, because the truth which abides in us or lives in us will be with us forever. Amen. The truth, God's truth is eternal. It is everlasting. Oh, loved one, listen. We must, in this generation that we're in right now, we have to be part of those that say we are those of the truth. We know the truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen? He is the way, the life, the truth. Not only that, we have the Spirit of truth living in us right this moment, instructing us, leading us, and guiding us. And the Word of God will be with us for absolutely forever. But listen to me. The book that you hold in your hand, if you actually have a real Bible, you know what? I don't mean that critically, you know. What is an electronic Bible? It's an e-Bible. No, I don't know anything about that, okay? Because I'm the old-timer. All right. Now, with all that being said, listen, the Bible, we're not filled with the Spirit of truth, just intellectual information, you know, where we just know a bunch of facts and so forth. You know, no, we have the living, divine, perfect truth of the living God in our hands. Amen? Amen. Jesus told us, what did he tell us? My life scripture, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. Amen? Amen. How many people want to be free? Amen? Amen. Well, the only way you're ever going to be free is only by the truth of God's word. There is nothing in this world that can set us free but Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. Jesus went right hours before he went to the crucifixion. Remember when he was brought before Pilate? There in John 18:37, he was brought before Pilate, and Pilate said unto him, to Jesus, he said, are you the king? Jesus said, well, you rightly say that I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Now listen to what Jesus says in front of Pontius Pilate. He says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Let me read that to you again. Jesus standing before the Roman procurator, Pontius Pilate, he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You remember what Jesus said in John 10:27? He said this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow after me. Those that are of the truth, the Thessalonians, they believed in the truth. They acted on the truth. They lived the truth. They heard the voice of their Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And they changed their world. Now listen to me. Pilate, right after that, looked at Jesus. And he said unto him, after Jesus said that those that everyone who hears me is of the truth, he says, well, what is truth? And instead of Pilate waiting on Jesus to give him the answer, remember what Pilate did? He turned his back upon the Lord and walked out and said to the Jews, I find no fault in this man. He missed the greatest opportunity in his life. Jesus was about to tell him, amen? This morning, as we look at this, these great words written by the power of the Holy Spirit, loved one, please, we must in the generation and the time that we're in, we must embrace each and every one of them, beginning in verse 13. Paul writing, and he says this, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. And look at the reason. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is, or as it truly is, in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who, what? Who believe. You have to believe it. So Paul, he says, for this reason, he's writing to this young church. He's reminding them. He says, listen, I remember the day that you came to the Lord, the day that your heart exploded with Jesus Christ and how everything changed for you. He says, the first thing that you did, you received the word of God. That word received there refers to hearing or to the ear. It is external. So they heard the word of God. And once they heard the word of God, they did something else. They welcomed the word of God, the truth of God's word, and that refers to something internal, meaning the heart. So the ear and the heart, they're connected. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. But now listen carefully. They welcomed that word not as the word of a man, not a word that came from mankind or men in general at all. They welcomed it as the truth, which had its divine origin in Almighty God and not man. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, listen, loved one. Remember over in chapter 1, I don't know, verse 5, wherever it was, when Paul says, listen, he says, the word that I preached to you, it didn't come in word only, but it came in power of the Holy Spirit. And it said not only that, and with much assurance or much conviction, that deep conviction in one's heart, meaning it hit you, man, and you knew the truth, you believed the truth, and you were born from above. Did you notice what Paul did in this very important verse, verse 13? He went from the past tense, or he began in the past tense, there when they were converted. And now he moves into the future tense, if you will, when he says this. He says, the word of God, or the truth of the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The model church, man, they welcomed, they heard the word of God in their ears, they received it in their hearts, the truth of the living word. And you know what the result was? When you truly believe God's word, it starts working in you.
Yes.
And they acted upon that truth.
Yes.
And what did they do? They turned Greece upside down. Listen to me. Let's be honest this morning. We're always honest. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'm always honest until I step out of the pulpit. Then I'm teasing. How do you listen? How do you hear God's word? Now, I'm teaching this morning, and you have other people. You listen on the radio, TV, or whatnot. How do you listen to the word of God? How is your hearing? If I just took this service and the last service and just took a survey, some people would say, and I say this in tenderness, not in any judgment at all. Some people would say, well, I came here this morning to hear the word, all right, but I'm discouraged, and I'm hoping that you're going to encourage me through God's word. Amen. And I hope I do. And some people came and they said, you know what? I'm just hopeless I need hope. Well, I hope that you get some hope out of this word because it's true. And there are those that say, I have marital problems or this or that, or I'm lonely or I'm bitter or I need, or I've been in sin and I don't know if God loves me. All these things that are going through their life, or I'm trying to find a church and I can tell you right now I'm leaving. No. In other words, some people come, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but some people come because they're more occupied with the messenger than the message. And they're checking us out. There's nothing wrong with that. But the time that we have together, we need to have our ears open, and the ears open to the Word of God. And I'll tell you why. The Thessalonians, they did not hear Paul. They heard God. And that's the only way we're going to make it in this world is by hearing the Lord. Amen? And that's exactly what he said. They welcomed the word that Paul preached, not as his word. They welcomed it as God's holy truth. And man, they bought into that with their heart. Now listen, if you do not believe the word of God, do you know if you don't believe the word of God? And I know you do, but if you didn't, what is left to believe on this planet? Only the word of man. Hello. The word of man, listen to me. Everything that is spoken by man, Christian, non-Christian, everything that is spoken by man, written by man, every Christian bookstore, whatever you do in your life, you better sift that. You better filter that through God's word. Amen. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes, but you never have to filter God's word. God's word is perfect truth. Man, it needs to filter through us. It needs to bring that life into us. Amen. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, God, you're so good that we have the Word of God. Listen, there is right today in our nation, there is a famine of the Word of God. A famine. Now, you're probably thinking he's going to take us over to Amos, you know, and all that. I'm not taking you there. We're going to take us right here. This is where the rubber is going to meet the road. Listen to this right here, the statistics. This is recent, by the way. Almost 9 out of 10 households own a Bible. According to the American Bible Society, the average household has 3. Think of that. I probably have 25 Bibles. You know what I mean? And I love every one of them. The Bible, praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, there's a lot of Bibles and there some are sitting on your nightstand, and I'm not saying that they are, but they might be. And there's so much dust on them, you could write your middle name. Do you understand? And they haven't been opened in such a long time. And then there's those, well, I just bought a brand new Bible and it's never been opened and I can't do it. It's so beautiful. I'm never going to mark in it. No, can't do that. It's just pretty. Hello. No, listen now. No. Man, the Word of God. How can America have all those Bibles in their homes, but there's a famine in our nation of the Word of God? And there is a famine. A lot of churches, I don't mean this in a judgmental way, they have to answer to God just like I do. They don't teach through the Word of God. We teach through God's Word here. We want you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? So with all those Bibles, how can there be a famine of the Word of God in our country? Listen carefully. It says over 2 billion Christians in the world right now, but less than 30% will ever read through the entire Bible. Listen to this one. The fact is, over 82% of American Christians only read their Bibles on Sundays while in church. Oh, one more statistic. Just came out last Wednesday. The American Bible Society's 10th annual State of the Bible report released Wednesday revealed that only 9% of Americans read their Bible on a daily basis. Loved one, listen now. You love me, I love you. We're all in it together. But I pray in Jesus' name that those statistics that I just read, that they don't include you and me. That's not, I mean, come on. Listen, we must read the Bible daily. Amen. we must study the Bible daily. We must renew our minds constantly to the Word of God. Amen? We have to do that. Listen, you go 1 week without reading the Bible, you're miserable. You don't, as a matter of fact, you're just like, you're starting to live like the world. Come on. Isn't that, am I right or wrong? Yeah. You need to, you take a spiritual bath in the Word of God every day, and it just comes through you. It keeps you clean. It keeps you thinking. And some of you go, well, I do that, and then I don't even know what I read. I read that chapter, and it's like, what the heck was that? Hey, me too. No, I'm just like, you think I'm, it's like when I read it, all of a sudden they glow, and do you, no. I mean, I read something, and I go, what in the heck did I just read? But at least I read it. Amen. And I'll go back and do it again. But here's the thing. You are putting the Word of God in you. Yes. In other words, even if it doesn't make sense, and I'll tell you what happens. And then all of a sudden, as you do that constantly, consistently, then as you need what you read, all of a sudden the Spirit of God brings it back up. Yes. Why? Because you were obedient. Yes. Sometimes, again, I read it and I go, what? I forgot what I just read. But I have an excuse. I'm older. You know? No. Man, every day. Do you know that we are commanded to study the Word of God? Yes. Second Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy in verse 2:15 or chapter 2:15. He says, make every effort or be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. Not to the world, not to anyone else, but to God. He says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, and here's this word again, the word of truth. Listen, Bible study is work. Yes. You know what I'm saying? You read it and reread it, and you learn, and you start learning contrast and how to study the Bible and all of those things. You start meditating upon it, memorizing scriptures and so forth. But you have to work. Listen, it takes diligent study to divide the Word of God. Rightly divide. That means to cut a straight path or plow a straight path. And so to be skillful in the Word of God or the Word of truth, you would have to spend a little time in it, right? Yes. And that's what we always love on what we have to do. See, if you don't know what you believe, then you cannot practice what you don't know. Yes. You have to know what you believe. And if we don't rightly divide the word, you know, we do the dip and skip method instead of systematic going through the Bible. You know, the dip and skip method. You know, I don't know where I'm going to be this morning. You know, you open it up and I don't know. You know, it says Judas hung himself. That didn't work. You open it over. You work it over here and it says, go do likewise. No, you know, you don't want to do that. No, that's a dip and skip. You're going to get killed. Do you understand? No, where you systematically, thank you, Lord, go through the Word of God. That's what all of us have to do. See, if you're not rightly dividing the Word of God, which is your privilege to do that, you may end up wrongly dividing the Word of God, okay? And you'll be ashamed. You know, there's a writer, a pastor that writes every Friday in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that drives me absolutely crazy. And you know, this time on Friday when he was writing, he was talking about those who believe the Bible to be 100% God's Word. He said, you know, the inerrancy of the Bible, he says, those that believe that all Scripture carries the same value and authority, they think this honors God. It doesn't. It undermines the authority of Christ. He says, the God of the Old Testament, look, he killed all these people, da 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 da. And you know, Jesus, loving Jesus, what did he say? Oh, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them. That's right. But the truth of the matter is that we are to love our enemies, feed those who are thirsty, you know, and all the rest of it, because God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He'll take care of them. Amen. Yeah. And so he's saying that the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. What did Jesus say to Philip? He says, Philip, have I been with you so long you don't even know who the Father is? He says, if you have seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. Jesus told the Jews, he says, before Abraham, I am. Hello. Yes. Listen, the Jesus is God. Now, you don't divide that out like that. See, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question, and I mean this with all my heart. Is your Bible the most precious possession that you have? Amen. I pray it is. I mean, your most precious possession. You know, when I was saved, when I got born again, there on the beach in Florida, you guys know the story. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But, you know, there I was, you know, and I came to the Lord. I was born again. One prayer on the beach. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And that hippie prayed with me, and I was born from above. And I had a cigarette, Marlboros, I guess it was Marlboro. They still make those?
Yes.
And, well, they do. They said they still make them. It's a word of prophecy, I guess. And so in my truck, you know how back then in the old days, they had coolers. And so you put your beer in there and the ice, you know, and you could hear when you drive, they'd rattle, you know. So, man, I'm saved. I'm on my way from Florida. I'm going to Colorado. And here I go. And there's a military guy hitchhiking. I pulled over, you know, and picked him up. I said, hey, I'm an ex-GI, man. Come on, get in. Where are you going? And he started talking to me, and you could hear that beer rattling in there and all that. And I said, you want one of those beers, you know? No, I don't want. Okay. And I put my cigarette in, you know, and I was driving. I just was born again that day. And I said, let me tell you what just happened to me. I was on the beach. I said, I prayed with a man, and Jesus Christ is real. I'm born from above. I know that God is real. And the guy said, would you mind letting me out right up the street? I drove on. I got into Georgia. I'm talking about your Bible being your most precious possession. I got into Georgia, and I was so tired, and man, I was just, I was ecstatic because I knew that God was real. I didn't understand anything, but I knew Jesus was real. Do you understand? I knew that I had been changed. I pulled into a motel, you know, the motel, trailer court, you know. And so I got into my room, and I bought a pizza, and, you know, was eating a pizza there and all that. And so I opened up the drawer of the next to the bed, and there was the Bible. It was this Bible right here. It was my first Bible. And in the front, it's nearly 50 years old. And it says, a hotel room, Demopolis, Georgia. I opened that Bible. I'd never read the Bible. And it came alive. Oh, and I was devouring, and it was just going on and on. And so the next morning I checked out, and I took that Bible, and I just drove on away, you know, and so forth. And I got down the road about 2 or 3 miles, and it was like, I'm a thief. I'm a Christian one day, and I'm a thief. I got back and turned around, and I drove back and pulled in and took that Bible. I said, sir, I stole this Bible. And I said, I want to give it back to you. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I just came to Jesus yesterday, but I know I'm a thief. And he said, son, he said, you're no thief. He said, those Bibles are there to be given away free. That's right. I'm not a thief. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Listen. This, if this is not your most precious possession, what is? Because I'm telling you, you must believe that and have that. Listen, you know, the children of Israel, the Thessalonians, over there in chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, what did they do? Man, they got on fire for God. They were imitating Jesus. They were imitating Paul, and Paul always imitated Jesus. And they were changed. They become the model church, and they were sounding forth the word of God everywhere without a Bible. Are you listening to me? And they became the trumpet of God, and their faith was known everywhere. And I went, dear Lord, and they didn't even have a New Testament. How did they do that? I'll tell you how. They welcomed not as the word of men, but as the truth of the word of God. They believed in the word, God's truth, and they turned their nation upside down, and they were less than 1 year old in the Lord. Listen to me. I'll be in verse 13. I know I'm going to finish in just a bit, but hold on now. I got some scriptures. Listen, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the truth of God. The Bible is the most unique, unbelievable book in all of the world. We have right there, right here, 66 books of perfect divine truth from God. When you read the Bible, God makes known in His word things that we would have never known had God not let us know. Yes. I know where we came from. Amen? Yes, I know what happens after we die. I mean, no one knew that. Are you following me? But God knows that. No religion on the earth in history has what we have. We have the only book that came from heaven, from God to man. We call ourselves Christians. Amen? Yes. Listen, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, Paul says, Timothy, listen, that from childhood you have known, you've memorized, you've grown up with the Holy Scriptures, the words that you hold in your hand, the Bible that you hold in your hand. I pray it's the Bible. I know some of you have the iPad. Some of you have the phones. I just can't read the Bible out of the Apple, the iPhone. It's got a little apple on the other side. There's a piece missing. You know what happened in the garden, right? Okay. I mean, why would you? I can't do it. You know? No. Listen. It says, the Holy Scriptures, which are to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here it comes. All Scripture, when you look in your Bibles right now, the Scripture that you are reading or going to read later, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. Not part of the Scripture, not maybe a few Scriptures in the Old Covenant or in the New. Every word of God is given by inspiration from God, inspiration from God. It's God-breathed. It's from the breath of God, not from the breath of man. And this refers to the original writings, loved one, the original parchments, God-breathed. It says in 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not anyone's but God's. Amen? Amen. Man doesn't own that. He says, meaning it didn't originate with man. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, those that are set apart by God, they spake, and listen to how they did this and how they wrote. It says, as they were moved by this Holy Spirit. They were moved. That picture is a picture in the Greek of a sailboat, for example. And it's moving on the water, but it's being moved by someone else. It's by the wind. Well, wind, the pneuma in Greek, is the breath of God. Amen? So the men, the people that God used to write these 66 books, they were controlled, they were directed at within their own personalities as they wrote the exact word of God that God would have them write. Do you understand? Now, listen to me now. They did this in the original writings, Old Testament, New Testament. They did so without error in the original writings. Do you understand? Without error. 66 books? Now listen, do you know what a miracle that is? There's no unity of books in this world. If you look at the unity of the 66 books of the Bible, listen, they were written by over 35 different authors, okay? Over a period of over 1,500 years of people that lived in different times. They had different occupations. Some were tax collectors, some were fishermen. Are you with me? All these different educational backgrounds, some knew one another, some didn't know one another. And yet, when you understand all of that, three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, but there's a holy unity That's a miracle. Matter of fact, that is a mathematical improbability. The only way that these 66 books written over that period of time, the only way it could have happened, it was by the Spirit of the living God. You understand? And you hold that in your hand. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:17, he says that the man of God, talking about the word of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just equipped, but thoroughly equipped. Whatever work you're doing, secular or religious. Do you understand? Whatever you do, you have the word of God. The word of God works everywhere. Amen? Amen. And that's what we have. So the inspired word of God that came down from heaven to man through that God used the Holy Spirit, these men who were set apart by him. Without God's word, loved one, you're not complete. And without God's word, loved one, you're not even equipped. Yes. You know why? Listen, the Bible, the word of God, the Bible doesn't contain God's word. That's very important. It doesn't contain God's word. It is God's word. Amen. See, if it contained God's word, then we could say, okay, well, what part of it isn't God's word? Does that make sense? So how do we know what's real or not? I mean, maybe I'm really not forgiven of my sins. Maybe the Great Commission really, was that man or was that God? How do I base that authority? How can I do it? God's word is eternal. It never changes. It is perfect. It is without error. Do you understand? Man didn't write this. This is God breathed, and it is given unto us. Jesus said in John 17:17, in his high priestly prayer, he said, "Thy word, O God, it is truth." Question. Why is Christianity different from every religion that has ever been on this planet? You know what makes us different? The source. The book comes from God. Amen. Listen, the good news is from heaven. It did not originate on this planet. It originated, this is God's, our Father's perfect will is right there. All religions on this earth that has ever existed, they're everyone except Christianity, they are all man-made, every one of them. I don't care what they teach. Well, I can tell you what they teach. You have to earn God's love. You have to earn God's forgiveness. You have to really work hard. And if you do that, you might get to certain levels and maybe you might make it, but not with God. God says it's by grace. You're saved. Just come to me and I'll cleanse you of all sin. No other religion in the history of mankind can cleanse any person from sin. And not only that, we are the only people that can say the founder of Christianity is alive. And he is seated at the right hand of God. No other religion in history can say their founder is alive. Do you understand me? We should be like the Thessalonians. We should be the model church. We should be so turned on. I mean, we should be smoking, not cigarettes, smoking. Do you understand? I mean, that's how excited we should be. We have God's word. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Don't do that. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Renew your minds to the word of God. Amen. Oh, listen, I tell you, no religion on earth has the founder living in them, but we do. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things passed away, all things become new. And we are the only people on earth, the only religion on earth that empowers his followers. Amen? It's Christianity. Acts 1:8. What did Jesus tell him right before he ascended? He says, in Acts 1:8, for you shall receive what? Power. Dunamis, his power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the baptismal measure, upon you, and you will be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Loved one, we have all the power we need because we were powerless, but we're not powerless anymore. We have God's word. Now, Now we're going to go back to verse 13. I know you didn't think I was ever going to get there again. Let's look at it. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God. Here it comes. Which also effectively works where? Works in you. But only to those who believe. Amen? Let me read that verse in the Amplified version. Exercising superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. Works is present tense continuous, meaning that the same word that you believe when you are saved, God's word, God's truth, is the same word that is working in you right now. The same word. The word of God is living. Amen? Oh, listen, I'm so thankful for that. You know, the Bible tells us this about being born again in 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, listen carefully, not of corruptible seed. The corruptible seed is Adam, okay? We're not an Adam anymore, thank God. Having been born again, past tense, not of corruptible seed, and then he tells us, but incorruptible seed through the word of God. Did you know the word of God is seed? And it gets planted into our hearts, and then it starts bearing fruit if we believe it and act upon it. Amen? Amen. It's power, loved one. He says, incorruptible through the word of God, here it comes, which lives and abides forever. Incorruptible seed. Listen, you cannot corrupt that which is incorruptible. Yes. Did you know that? And the incorruptible is living in us right now. Jesus said in John 10:35, he says, Scripture cannot be broken. Amen. What does that mean? It means that Scripture can never be annulled. That Scripture can never be proved false. That God's word, God's truth is absolutely indestructible. Man, we hold that. We have that privilege. And he goes on and he says, and Peter, he says, and the word of the Lord endures forever and ever. It's everlasting. It's unchangeable. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:18? He says, assuredly, I say unto you, he says, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle by any means pass from the law till everything is fulfilled. A dot, a jot, and a tittle, that the smallest part of a letter, like in the crossing of the T or the dotting of an I. God's word will outlast everything and everyone because it's absolute, it's without error, and it is eternal. Amen. Oh, listen, I am so thankful. And you know what's so wonderful? That God's word, right this minute, if you truly believe the word of God, if you're truly born again, let me tell you what's happening right now in this old body that is perishing while the inner man is being renewed day by day. The Bible tells us that God is working in us right this minute, and he's doing so effectively. Philippians 1:6, and we have this confidence that he, meaning God, who began a good work in you, a good work, you're a good work, no matter what nation you're from, no matter what color you are, no matter if you're male or female, rich or poor, Democrat, well, I don't know, but no, I'm teasing. Don't go there. Let's get away from politics. Mario, don't talk. Shh. Now, what scripture was I quoting? Oh, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will what? Say it. Complete it. He will finish it. God finishes what he starts. Until the very day of our redemption, until the very day of Christ Jesus, loved one. The Bible tells us in Philippians, chapter 2, verse, 12? It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who worketh in you to do good and his own good pleasure. Amen? And then there's those that don't know God. And that word worketh. See, the word work in the Bible, New Testament, usually has to do with divine power only. However, there is demonic power. Ephesians 2:2, it talks about that spirit, meaning the devil, who works, energizes the sons of disobedience, but not us. No, we have the word of God and we believe the word of God. Listen, this world is passing away. Yes. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever. You know, the Word of God is not only perfect truth, it is alive. It is living. Hebrews 4:12 says this about the Word: for the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, the soul and spirit, joints, marrow, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, listen, you know, we don't have to try to make God's Word powerful. It already is powerful. But we have to believe it's powerful.
Yes.
Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes.
Yes.
You know, listen, we don't need to be entertained anymore.
Yes.
In the church and in our nation.
Yes.
We need, I said it last Sunday, I didn't say it in the first service, but I know we need a revolution. And I know what that means now, because I've prayed through, and I'm going to be bringing a message. I'm studying right now and praying, Lord, how do you want me to present this? What do you want me to say? Because we need a revolution in the church.
Amen.
We need to revolt against the powers of darkness.
Yes.
We need to put them in their place.
Yes.
Do you understand? We need to take our homes back and our children back. We're blessed, amen?
Yes.
We need a revolution where we believe the Word of God again, loved one. We stand on the Word of God.
Yes.
And we believe it with all of our hearts. Listen, what did Jesus tell us? He said, the kingdom of God suffers violence unto now. And it is. And then Jesus said this, but the violent, meaning believers, they take it by force. In other words, not hurting people, saving people. Not harming people, healing people. Do you understand? Where we put down our foot and say in that prayer that every believer, which is a corporate prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Right here on this stinking planet, amen? God, that's what it means. It's putting your foot down and saying, I'm in agreement. Whenever the church of Jesus Christ gets in agreement with heaven, something is going to happen. And, boy, and that's what we need. Preaching is not, and teaching is not for entertainment. It's to change our lives. It's for us to believe the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm sick of this world.
Yes.
And I'm sick of what the world's trying to do to us.
Yes.
And I'm sick of what the government's trying to do to us.
Yes.
And I'm already getting off. I should stay with my points. Because, see, no, it's just the truth. I mean, see, I'm already getting off to where I am. Where are we at? Go to 14. I'm sorry. I apologize. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as did from the Judeans. Now listen, what is he saying? You believe the Word of God, you receive the Word of God, you welcome the Word of God, and now you're suffering for the Word of God. That's what happens. Listen, if the world hated Jesus, Jesus said, don't be shocked. It hated me before it hated you. Come on, every believer, we're going to go through persecution unless we're a church that's dead, unless we're a church that's not, we're not going to offend anyone. You know, any lifestyle is welcome. No, there's only one lifestyle, Christ-likeness, amen? And that's who we are. And so we're all going to go through it. And look what these persecutors did. He says, they killed both the Lord Jesus. Now, he's talking about the Jews now. And their own prophets, and persecuted us. And they don't please God and are hostile or contrary to all men. You know, Paul was persecuted by the Jews. Jesus was persecuted by his own people. John 1:10, he came to his own received him not. And so what is Paul saying to these less than a year old Christians? He's saying, you're on great ground. You're on the same ground that Jesus is on. You're on the same ground that I'm on. You're being persecuted. But listen, the Jews were not the only one that killed the Lord. We killed him.
Yes.
The Jews and the Gentiles. Amen? Make sure we got that. He says, forbidding us to speak, that's what they did, to the Gentiles that they may be saved. Can you imagine that? Hindering the salvation of others hindering someone from coming to the Christ. He says, "Oh, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Romans teaches us, woe to those who suppress the truth, God's truth, in unrighteousness. And that's what they were doing. They set themselves against God's people. And listen to me, when you set yourself against God, you set yourself against God's people. Whenever people persecute us, they are persecuting our Lord. Yes. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, whenever Jesus cried out to Paul on the road to Damascus, when he appeared to him, he says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you causing havoc in the church? Why are you putting men and women in prison? He didn't say that. He says, why are you persecuting me? Listen, when we are being persecuted here, it persecutes our Lord. Why? We are his body. Whatever is inflicted upon us is inflicted upon him. Amen? Yes. Now, it says that this wrath has come. Remember in Matthew's gospel when Jesus was calling out to the children of Israel, the Jews, the religious people, he says, oh man, he says, you know what? I called out to you. How often I wanted to just bring you in like a mother hen would bring chicks underneath her feathers and so forth. I wanted to do that. He says, but you weren't willing. Jesus said, see, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. See, wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, what does this mean here? 20 years after Paul penned 1 Thessalonians, something happened in AD 70. And that what happened was Titus invaded Jerusalem. Remember, the 10th Legion of Rome, they came in there on the Mount of Olives and they leveled Jerusalem. Matter of fact, in a 10-mile radius, there was not one tree left because they removed the trees to crucify the Jews. That's how horrible it was. Josephus says you could not even see, Josephus, who's a historian of Jewish antiquities, he said you could not even see the land because the bodies covered it. That's how horrible that was. Boy, you're talking about wrath. But listen, that did happen, happened in AD 70. But has God cast away Israel? No. God dedicated 3 full chapters in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He hasn't cast away his people because he has an everlasting covenant with his people. Amen. But when will this all take place? Whenever the nations of the world, they're surrounding Jerusalem at the second coming and Jesus comes back, we come back with him. Remember? Amen. And what happens? He lights on the Mount of Olives and so forth. And then it says in Zechariah, it talks about that then they will finally, they'll look upon him, meaning Jesus, whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as they would mourn for their only son. Oh, but God is going to pour out. Then it says the spirit of David or the spirit of supplication upon them, and Israel will be saved and they will be delivered at the second coming. Amen? Now, because they will believe in the Lord. So that's going to happen. But it says, fill up the measure of their sins. Why does God allow nations and people to keep on going and keep on sinning and filling up their cup till it finally runs over? Why does he do that? I'll tell you why. For God so loved the world. Yes. Amen. Amen. Listen, God is so long-suffering. It says in what? 2 Peter, no, yes, 3:9, about the long suffering of God. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? The Bible says, remember when Paul writes to the Romans and he's talking about the goodness of God in Romans 2:4, he says, and why do you despise, look down your nose at, treat like it's valueless, the riches of God's goodness? Do you not know that the goodness of God leads man to repentance? Oh, listen, God is good. Amen. Listen, we're living in the last days. The Great Commission is one of the foundational statements of this church. We should be winning those in our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of this world. Amen. It says in verse 17, but we, brethren, haven't been taken away from you just for a short time in presence or in person. He says, but we weren't taken away in heart. My heart is still there with you. endeavored more eagerly to see your face with intense or great desire. So Paul says, I was taken away from you. See, in Thessalonica, the Jews were saying, well, where is Paul? You know, he left you. He ran out on you. You got saved, and look, your leader is gone. Paul says, oh, no, I didn't run away from you. I was torn away from you. The other brethren, remember in Acts 17 what they did? They took Paul. They took Silas by night, said, you're going to Berea. Amen. So they were torn away from those at Thessalonica. It was a forceful separation. Now listen, that word taken away, if you could read it in the Greek, sometimes see our language doesn't do justice to the original language. The word taken away means, it's only found there, by the way, in the New Testament. It means to be orphaned, okay? So what was Paul saying? He says, I'm your spiritual father.
Yes.
And they jerked you, my children, out of my hands, and I feel orphaned. I want and I love you. That's what he's saying. And look what Paul says in 18. Therefore, we wanted to come to you. And now Paul does something. He goes from we to I. He wants them to know his heart. He says, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul. Do you know he's very rarely ever does that in his writings? He says, even I, Paul, time and time again, or repeatedly, he says, but look what happened. Satan, that's the adversary, remember? Satan hindered us. Satan is the defeated one. Yes. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Yes. He opposes God. He opposes you. He opposes everything good, everything holy. He opposes the beautiful, perfect will or the truth of God. He hates the truth of God. You know why? There's only one thing the devil supports, lies. There's only one thing he supports, everything that is false. Why? For he, John 8:44, he is the father of every lie. He was a murderer from the beginning. Amen. There is no truth in him. He can't speak the truth because lies, they are his native language. And he doesn't like it when you share the word. Who cares? Listen, share the word meaning when the time is opportune. Not when you're at your workplace and you're being paid $150 an hour. And tell me where that's at, would you? Do you understand? No. When the opportunity, when the Spirit, he's leading you, this is a good time.
Yes.
Satan hates that. And you start loving people, the lost, and tell them about the Lord. And you're speaking the word, which is the seed. It goes into their heart. It's living. It's alive. Amen? And what does Satan do? He said, the Bible says, immediately when those that are lost, those with hard hearts, when they hear the word of God, immediately Satan comes and steals it out of their hearts. Oh, listen, we have a great job to do, loved one. Paul says, but you, Satan hindered me. That word means he cut a trench. It's a military word. In other words, like an army was going to be coming into a city, and they would cut trenches along the main road, which would impede or slow down their progress. That's what he wants to do to us. But look at this great word right here. It says, you know what? Let me say something for a minute. I just thought about something. It says that Satan hindered their progress. Is Satan hindering our progress in the American church?
Yes.
Is he really? When only 9% of the people read the Bible, I think we're hindering our progress. You know, if only 9% of the population that are Christian read the Bible, how are you going to know that you're fishers of men? How are you going to know that you're ambassadors for Christ? How are you going to know you've been given the ministry of reconciliation? Amen? Oh, listen. That's why we must be in the truth every day. And he writes and he says in verse 19, and it's time to go home. Here it goes. I love this scripture. Paul says, oh, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you? You, in other words, those that came to the Lord under Paul's ministry. Is it not even you? And watch this, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his what? At his coming. Remember how I said the theme of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians? Every chapter has to do with the coming of the Lord. Now, listen carefully. Paul says, what is our hope? I love that. You know what my hope, what the word hope means? It doesn't mean I'm hoping so. It means sure, certain expectation of what? Jesus is coming. Jesus really is coming. And Paul says, and you know what my joy would be? Here, all of you Thessalonians that love the Lord, that welcome the truth into your hearts, and here you are, and we're all together in the presence of the Lord. He says, man, he says, my crown of rejoicing, Stephanos, crown. We get our word Stephen or Stephanie from those word, that word in the Greek. In other words, that's the victor's crown. That's whenever he appears that's at the judgment seat of Christ or the bema seat of Christ, the place of rewards, and we receive our crowns for what we've done, our stewardship, serving the Lord. And what do we do with our crowns? We throw them right back at his feet and say, oh, Lord, it was you. Amen. That's what the book of Revelation teaches. Listen, but then it uses another word there at the very end. It says, at his coming. Now, I've always pronounced that Greek word there, where it's translated in our language, coming, as parousa, okay? And I don't know, that's the way I've always done it. And I know that's probably wrong, because the proper way is parousia, parousia, which means his arrival, or his presence is now here. It is a defined period of time. And what time is he talking about? He's talking about whenever we hear a shout and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who remain are going to be caught up into the air, and we're forever going to be with the Lord. Amen. In other words, we're going to get a brand new body. Amen. That's when it's going to happen. I don't know about you. That is my joy. Oh, that is going to be a great day. Listen, the Word of God. You know, if you don't know Jesus, and I'm sure maybe probably everyone here you do, but if you don't, if you have a doubt, those that are listening live right now, radio, whatever, listen to me. Don't receive what I'm about to say as a word of man. Receive it as a word from God. Perfect truth. Let me read it to you. If you don't know Christ, Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, he who hears my truth and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and is passed out of death into life. Amen. All you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and truly believe it. God will save you. That's God's word, not my word. That's the word of God. It's the truth of God. Jesus said this in John 8:47. He who is of God hears God's word. Are you of God? You are if you hear this word and receive this word. For Jesus says, therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. Jesus said, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just a few seconds here. Listen, if Jesus is not your Lord, he can be today. Your life will be changed. All you have to do is lift your hand. Don't come to this altar. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Just lift your hand high so I can see it, and then put it right back down. Anyone here, God bless you. That's right. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Lift it high if that's you, please, so I can see it, and put it right back down. Anyone else before I pray? You that are listening live, you can pray this prayer with me. Those that lifted your hands, pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, today I heard the word of God, the truth of God's word, not man's. Therefore, right this minute, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling. Jesus, be my Lord. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?